And you guys are not here by accident, correct? Right. You guys are here because you desire to know God more, right? You desire to grow closer to Him. You desire to grow in the knowledge of His Word and His character. So you're in Grow Track. Makes sense. And tonight's teaching is very suitable and fitting for Grow Track because we're going to be talking about seeds, and we're going to be talking about soil, and we're going to be talking about growth. So if you have not already, please go ahead and flip to week 2 in your manuals. And you'll see that the title of tonight's teaching is Protecting Your Seeds. Everybody say, Protecting Your Seeds. Yes. Before we start talking about how to protect your seeds, I want to talk about a story that's in the Bible that Jesus himself tells in Matthew. But before we start talking about how to protect your seeds, I think we kind of need to know what are the seeds, right? What are the seeds? Who's the one sowing the seed? And where is it being sown? So do you guys have that chunk of scripture in your manuals, Matthew 13? Yes, excellent. I'm going to go ahead and read that, and I would like you to just follow along as I read. You can grab a pen and circle or underline if you want to. Matthew 13, it says, "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables." A parable is just a story, stories. "Saying, a farmer," say farmer, "a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear." So that is the parable or the story of the sower. And before we dissect that a little bit, I want to pray over tonight's teaching, and I also want to pray over each one of you, because I think it's interesting at the end of that, Jesus says, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." And I know all of you are sitting in here tonight, but there may be some of you that your mind is still at the office, right? Or your mind and your heart are still stuck on that conversation you had with your friend or that argument you had with a spouse, or you're still concerned about that thing that happened at school with your child, right? And so we want to be able to come in here and solely focus on God and what He wants to speak to you tonight, because I know the Lord has things that He wants to say to each and every one of you. But we have to have ears to hear, right? So I want to pray over that tonight. Would you guys pray with me, please? Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here in your house tonight and to learn about your word and learn about more of who you are. God, I ask that you would be with us in a special way. Lord, I pray that despite what may have happened this week or even what may have happened today, Father, right now, God, we surrender to you, Jesus, this next hour. We give you our focus and our attention. We ask that you would speak to us. God, I pray that you would give every person in this room ears to hear your voice. Give us eyes to see you clearly for who you truly are. And give us hearts to receive from you tonight, to receive the seeds that you want to plant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I first of all want to look at this story of the farmer. Who is the farmer in this story? Who is Jesus? Who does the farmer represent? You guys know? Take a guess. Jesus? God. Yes. The farmer represents God. And what is he doing? What does it say he's doing in the story? Slinging seed? Sowing seed? That's right. Absolutely. He's tossing seed. And he's tossing seed, and it's falling on different soils, right? But he's the farmer, and he's slinging the seed. What is the purpose of planting a seed? What's the purpose of that? So that it grows. So that something grows. The purpose of planting, I think I actually have seeds in my pocket. I do. I forgot they were there. The purpose of planting a seed is so that it grows. We don't plant something in the ground and just say, oh, well, now it's planted and it's going to stay just like that where the dirt is at. The point of planting a seed is so that you grow what you want to come from that seed. So if you're planting a peach tree, you want to see a peach tree grow and peaches grow on it, right? Yes, absolutely. So it's important for you guys to know God is the master gardener. He's the master farmer of our hearts and our lives. He is always slinging seed. He's always sowing seed into your life and your heart. He's always scattering seed in our lives, okay? But here's the deal. He scatters the seed. His intention for every seed is that it would take root and that it would grow. He doesn't scatter seed just to scatter seed. He wants those seeds to take root and grow so they can produce a tremendous harvest, right? But here's the catch. These seeds can only take root and grow if they're planted in the right soil, okay? Right now, I want to look at what the seeds represent, and these are blanks in your manual. A seed that God slings could be anything God plants in you to do. A seed could be anything God speaks to you through his word, or maybe he speaks it to your heart. A seed could be anything God does in or through you. And a seed could be anything God calls you to do or change. Now, so in essence, this is God's work in your life. The seeds represent God's work in your life. And if you take what we just talked about, how a seed, those seeds that God slings, these four seeds that represent the seeds that he's slinging, they will only produce that tremendous harvest when they take root and they're able to grow in good soil, in the right soil. And that's the next blank. Your heart is the soil where God's seeds are planted. Your heart is that soil. So like I said, God's always sowing seed. He's always scattering seed in our lives. Some of you probably felt the Lord planting some seeds in your heart last week as Pastor Dan was teaching about salvation and water baptism. Maybe some of you felt like the Lord was planting seeds in your heart on Sunday as Pastor Jeremy talked about the baggage and letting go of some things. I know I did. That was a good sermon. But my point is God's always slinging seed. He's always scattering seed in our lives and our hearts. But we have a responsibility to protect those seeds, to care for those seeds, to nurture those seeds, to make sure they're getting what they need, right? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, protecting those seeds, protecting your seeds, the seeds that God's scattering in your heart and in your lives. So tonight's going to be a lot of fun with Pastor Dan. He always has fun. But tonight is also very important because the seeds God is planting in you, he wants there to be a tremendous harvest. But you're going to have to allow God to come deep, deep in your heart and speak to you about your soil and the soil where he wants to plant his seeds, okay? Can we pray tonight? Can we pray over that tonight? I know we just prayed. Can we pray again? I'd like to pray with you guys before I have Pastor Dan come up here. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you that you're a seed-slinging God. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to sling seed in here tonight. Father, we come to you in surrender. We come to you, as Pastor Jeremy says, with our palms up. We don't hold on to anything, God. We come to you with our palms up. Father, I pray that you would use tonight's teaching to remove any obstacles from our soil to draw us closer to you. Yes, Lord. We desire to come closer to you, God, and I pray that you would speak to each individual in here tonight about the seeds you're planting and also about the condition of their soil. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. You guys, give it up for Pastor Dan.
Guys, I'm so excited about talking about seed tonight, and I believe God's got a word for you. Say, I'm ready. I'm not convinced. Say, I'm ready. Man, you ever got to a point where you're like, I've been going to church for a long time now, and nothing is changing? Anybody honest to say, hey, I've gone through seasons where I've gone to church, and just nothing changes? I'm the only one tonight. Thank you for a couple. Oh, all right. You just need somebody to be honest with you. All right. Like, we go through those seasons, and you ever ask yourself, what is it? Like, I've been going to church every Sunday. I've been tithing. I've been checking off the list, somebody. And I don't feel like anything is changing. Well, sometimes we've got to take a look at what's not the condition of the seed, because how many of you guys know that the seed is good? Every single seed that God scatters is good seed. He doesn't scatter bad seed. The farmer only scatters good seed. In fact, the scripture says of itself that it produces that which it is sent out to produce. But here's the incredible thing about God. In his sovereignty, he's allowed us the opportunity to produce good soil in which we receive the seed. So sometimes if I'm finding myself in a position in life where I've been doing all the right things, but I'm not seeing any growth, maybe I ought to look at the soil in which the seed is being planted. Ain't nobody want to do that tonight, because that takes some introspective work, doesn't it? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because we're going to talk about the condition of the soil. And that's what this whole parable is about, the condition of the soil. Now, that seed, I want to back up just for a second. What is that seed? What is the seed that we're talking about? Yes, it's anything God plants in you to do. It's anything God speaks to you, anything that God does in and through you, anything that God calls you to do or to change. That's all seed. That's what the seed represents. But look at Matthew 18. You got your scriptures out? Guys, practice on these Wednesday nights. Bring a Bible with you. It's cool if you want to bring your e-version while I use my tree version. That's just fine. But let's have our scriptures handy. Matthew chapter 13, real quick, look at verse 18 and 19. I think this is really, really important in understanding where we're going here tonight. It says, therefore, I still hear you turning, Matthew chapter 13. Page 1196, if you're looking for it. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Jesus is like, I told you a parable. The disciples are like, I don't have any idea what you mean. He says, now let me explain it to you. Let me explain it to you clearly. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. Back up just a little bit. When anyone hears what? The word of the kingdom. So anytime you're hearing a word of the kingdom, and what is that? Anytime you're hearing a word from the Lord, anytime the scripture is being spoke to you, anytime you're reading the word, anytime you have an encouragement from a friend that comes from the word of God, then you know that seed is being scattered. And that should be a trigger in your mind. I better prepare the soil if I want to receive that. How many of you guys have been in a position where somebody's there to encourage you, but you're not ready to be encouraged? Like, you show up to work and things have just been hell on earth. Anybody with me? And you go to work and your coworker who loves Jesus comes up and just says, I know it's been a hard time, but let me just, I want to share a scripture with you. And you know how your heart goes, just flat, man. Just as hard as a rock, because you know what? I don't want to hear it right now. And immediately you've chosen the type of soil that you're going to be. And you know what? You're not going to hear a word that's spoken. But if you'll be just like the soil, and we're going to get into this in just a minute. If you'll be like the soil that hears the word, receives it, and enters it into your heart, then you'll be the one that takes the seed and it multiplies 100 times that which is planted. How many of you guys want that? Raise your hand. I want to be that type of person, which means every time I hear a word from the kingdom, I'm not just talking about a word from my friend. I'm not talking about getting a word from Facebook. I'm not talking about getting a word from a good country song on the radio. This is my church. I'm talking about when somebody preaches word to you, when you get a hold of a word of God, then you need to immediately in your mind think, I need to prepare the soil of my heart because I want to receive that word as much as it may be painful. Because how many of you guys know sometimes God plants some painful seed in us because he knows it's going to be good for us. And so I've got to receive that. Is anybody hearing that tonight? Man, I feel like that's a good word for somebody. And so when you come in tonight, when you come in on a Wednesday night, you need to prepare yourself. When you come in to church on Sunday morning, you need to get your heart ready. You need to have your heart ready because you need to have the soil of your heart ready to receive what God has for you. Amen? And sometimes that's a step of faith. God, I'm not feeling it right now. Justin, I'm not feeling it right now. It's been a horrible week this week, and I'm just not feeling church right now. But you know what? I'm gonna enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his house with praise by faith. Why? Because I'm gonna start to till up that soil just a little bit because I know that I'm gonna receive some seed today, and I need to see some production in my life. Somebody say amen. Man, that's good. Okay, get to the notes. Here we go. 3 keys that ensure spiritual growth happens. You want to ensure that spiritual growth happens. Number one, be attentive to the condition of the soil in your heart. We've just been talking about that. Be attentive to the condition. Look at your neighbor and say, condition. The condition of the soil of your heart. It's important to ensure your seeds are planted in the right soil. The soil has the power to help grow the seed or help kill the seed. Anybody plant gardens? Anybody successful at planting gardens? Anybody ever planted a garden and you just realized I shouldn't plant gardens? Come on, man. I've tried it. I can't get anything to grow. Like I got one little pepper one time. And you better know I cut that thing up and we sauteed it and I put it with a meal. You're right, I did. The soil has the power to help grow the seed or help kill the seed. When seeds are not planted in the right soil, they are more easily and quickly destroyed or devoured by the enemy. Again, every seed that God scatters is good seed. But if you're not seeing growth from it, it's because the soil isn't ready to receive it yet. The condition of the soil. So there's 4 types of soil. When we look at this parable, there's 4 types of soil. The first one is the path. The path. Birds came and ate it. When the soil was scattered, now back in the day, they had a little pouch that they wore. And they grabbed a handful of seeds and they scattered them. They scattered them like that. Now, how many of you guys have a seed scatterer? You ever done that? You like I know they have little dials and stuff that you're supposed to set, and it's a spreader. Is that what I said? A scatterer? A seed spreader. Thank you. A seed spreader. A Thompson Scott seed spreader. So the first time I used one of those, I put all the seeds in it. I'm ready to scatter. I grabbed the handle. And that thing was open so wide it dumped a whole thing of seed right below me. You know what I'm talking about? You got to set the little dial right, and then it scatters it. But anytime Jesus scattered seed, it would fall on different, and the farmers would know this. They know that. They know that sometimes when they sow seed, it's going to get out on the rocky places. They know that. And so it's perfect for Jesus to use this parable because he's like speaking to them. They're like, sure, I know what that looks like. As soon as that hits the path, man, the birds come flocking in and they start eating up that seed. And he's like, that's exactly what it's like. Matthew 13:18-19. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, and does not what? Understand it. I want to stop there just for a moment because I think it's super important. This is why Grow Track and Encounter and Starting Point are so crucial. There are many people, and maybe you've been this way, you're just a Sunday morning attender. Man, I've been attending church every Sunday morning. I got my little pew, and I just sit there, and I'm just checking out the box, and when I get to heaven someday, I'm going to get perfect attendance. How many of you guys know that don't work? This is why the discipleship part is so important, and what you're doing here is so crucial. Because sometimes, like when we get a word, we can hear it, but somebody's got to help us understand it. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Jeremy, man. What an incredible message on Sunday. Were y'all here for that? Man, baggage. That was so good. What you're carrying on. And he does such an amazing job of breaking those things down and helping us to understand it and receive it. And that's so important. And that's why Grow Track is important and Encounter is important, because you need to get in a position where you can talk about the word and somebody can help you understand it. We all do. We all need that conversation. The word says that they hear the message about the kingdom and does not understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. There was no one there to help them break it down. And maybe you've known somebody before. They're like, I read the Bible all the time. I just don't what? Come on, man. I just don't understand it. You ever been there? Anybody ever been there? I just don't understand it. And then you get into a group like this and you start talking about it and man, the light bulbs are going off and you're like, man, I get it. Wow, I've heard that so many times and now I what? I understand it. Second soil is rocky soil. Rocky soil. How many of you guys like rocky? And that's one of those movies that if it comes on, everything stops, man. I'm going to watch it all the way through. You know what I'm saying? Rocky's so good, man. I feel like I'm about 10 foot taller after I watch that movie. Rocky soil. That's not what we're talking about, but it reminded me of that. Rocky soil. No depth of soil. The seed sprang up quickly, but was scorched quickly because there was what? There was no depth. There was no depth. Matthew 13:20-21, the seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. They get in here on a Sunday morning. Last Wednesday night, guys, man, we had like a dozen of you guys raise your hand saying, I'm ready to accept Jesus and invite him into my life. The best decision you'll ever make in your entire life. Why? Because he transforms everything. And some of you guys made that decision last Wednesday night, and that was the beginning. That's just the start. And you signed up. I signed up a couple of people last week for water baptism. Listen, that first decision for you, it's a personal decision between you and Jesus. It has to be your decision. But that second decision, water baptism, that's public. And next Sunday, if you haven't signed up for water baptism, you need to do that. We're going to celebrate big, big time. Raise your hand if you've been water baptized. Come on, all over the place. It is big. You go public with your faith. If you haven't gone public with your faith, man, do that next Sunday. We're going to celebrate with you as a family. But rocky soil, they receive it with joy. They're excited about it, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. We've seen it happen. I've seen it happen time and time again. No, another scripture, I love another translation, says, there's no soil of character. When the emotions wear off, they die off. Have we been there before? Like the high emotion of just, this feels good, this seems right, this is awesome, it's incredible, I'm going to make this decision. And then, man, when you get back to work on Monday, when you get back home to the challenges that you're facing at home, some of those things, and the emotion begins to wear off. And what happens? Man, it's like that seed was planted in rocky soil. It sprung up real quick, but there's no root. There's no root. That's why we say at Timber Creek Church, give us a year of your life. Give us a year of your life. If you'll commit to a year of your life, if you'll commit to every Wednesday night here, and just to say, man, you know, come hell or high water, as they say, I'm going to be here on Wednesday night. I'm going to make this happen. Why? Because this is important in helping the roots get down deep. Because when the storms come, and everybody knows they come, when the storms come, they begin to beat on your house. If you don't have a solid foundation, man, that house is going to crumble. That house is going to crumble. But if you have done the work of getting yourself in and planting those roots, man, that storm comes, man, the devil can knock all day long. Ain't nobody letting you in, right? You're going to stand firm because your roots are deep. Rocky soil. Number three, thorny soil. Thorny soil, choked by worries of this life and the deceitfulness, or I like the translation, it says the illusions. I love that picture. The illusions of wealth, making it unfruitful. How many of you guys know that wealth can be like an illusion? Like this idea of becoming wealthy, it's an illusion. Like this idea of the ideal life. Like I'm going to retire at 50 life, right? And I'm going to, maybe you're living out your dream, I don't know. But there's this idea that I'm going to have $1 million in the bank, I'm going to have a nice RV, and I'm going to travel the country by the age of 50. If you're doing that right now, congratulations. Make room, I want to come with you. But like this ideal, like this illusion, and sometimes, many times, most of the time, Satan will tempt us with that. Why? Because it gets us distracted from really pursuing God. Why? Because then I begin to pursue things of this world thinking that that's going to make me happy. There's another scripture where Jesus says, you can't serve both God and money. You can't do it. You either trust Jesus as your provider or you don't. But I'm telling you, if you put your hands in the hands of Jesus, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, he's always going to take care of you. Isn't that right? He's going to provide for you. So let's not get caught up in the illusions of wealth, making that seed that God's planted in your heart unfruitful. We don't want that, right? Fourthly, good soil. Good soil. This is where it's at. Someone who not only hears it, but understands what God is doing and saying about their lives and or their situation. And how many of you guys know that God has something to say about every situation in your life? He really does. He's got something to say, and he wants to speak into those things. So, the first key to ensuring spiritual growth is be attentive to the condition of the soil in your heart. Raise your hand if you're going to be attentive to the condition of the soil in your heart. Come on, all over the place. You're going to be attentive. I'm going to pay attention now. I'm going to pay attention to what the condition of my heart is like. If I feel like it's a little hard, it may be that rocky soil, and immediately when I hear a word from God, it's going to be stolen. It's going to be taken. If I feel like it's just kind of rocky and there's just no root because I haven't done really the work to get in there and make sure that my roots are deep, then I know that even though I receive that seed, and I may be excited about it in a moment, that it's going to disappear. Maybe it's a thorny soil. Maybe you're just so bound up by worries. Philippians, here, take this seed, Philippians chapter 4. Somebody catch that tonight. Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious of nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, offer your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds until Christ Jesus returns. How many of you guys want a piece of that seed, right? I just need to receive that into my heart and my life. Some of you are just overcome by anxiety, and God says, don't do that. Don't do that. So receive that. Number two, identify what tends to devour and destroy your seed. Identify what tends to devour and destroy your seed. So I'm looking at the condition of my heart, but now I need to kind of turn my gaze towards what is trying to devour or take that seed from me. How many of you guys know it would be good if you knew that every time you were planting something out in the garden, but at night you've got critters coming out there and eating what you planted, it'd be good to know what's eating your fruit, right? And like sometimes you got to take preventative steps to make sure that the enemy doesn't come in and eat the fruit of that seed. And so that's what we're going to talk about for a few moments. You got a group exercise in your book there. Some group work. I'm going to give you, about 5 to 7 minutes. And table leaders, you guys can go through all three of these, or you can pick one and go through that first one. And then if you make it to another one, that would be just fine. But let's take about 5 to 7 minutes. What you're going to do is you're going to go to these scriptures. You're going to read the scriptures, either Luke chapter 1, 2 Samuel chapter 6, Exodus 4. You're going to read the scripture, and then you're going to, as a group, try to identify who's devouring the seed. What's happening to the seed there? You all know what I'm talking about? Are you in your books? If you're there, say I'm there. Okay, you got it. So pick one of those as a group. Start there, and if you get a couple of them done, that's great. But I'm going to give you about 7 minutes. Seven's a good number. About 7 minutes to go through that, and then we're going to come back to that. I know you're probably not done yet, but let's take a few moments. How many of you guys did number one? You did the first one? Okay, let's start. Let's start right here. Give me... What was it that the enemy used? Give me a quick synopsis of the story, and then what did the enemy use to try to destroy or devour that seed? Speak up real loud.
We just thought the seed was doubt and fear.
Seed was doubt and fear. We're looking at Luke chapter 1. Zechariah and Elizabeth's husband Zechariah gets a word from God, right? He's in the temple, and he's doing the work of the priest. God shows up. Angel of the Lord shows up and says, hey, I've heard your prayer, and you're going to have a child. Your wife is pregnant, right? How can this be? Was the question. That was the question. How can this be? It sounds like a logical question, doesn't it? Like, it sounds like a logical question. My wife doesn't have babies, and yet you're telling me that we're going to have a baby. How can this be? This seems what? This seems impossible. And so God recognizes what? The doubt and the fear, and that's what the enemy tried to use exactly. The doubt and the fear to steal that seed. And there are times that we'll read into the scriptures, and I receive a promise from God, but exactly what Zechariah did, we do. How can this be? You hear a word on Sunday. Somebody listen to me this morning or tonight. You hear the word on Sunday that God's got an incredible plan for your life. God wants to do something special in you. And yet your response is, man, how can that be? And before the seed ever gets an opportunity to be planted in the soil of your heart, the enemy has come and he's taken it from you because of fear and doubt. Man, I don't know about you, but there's been plenty of seed that's been taken from me because I doubted or I was full of fear. But you got to go back to the word that says the perfect love of God casts out all fear. And we've got to know the word so much that when the devourer comes, that I can rebuke him with the word, with another seed that's already planted in me, that's bore fruit in me, to say, no, I don't receive that fear in Jesus' name. And there's no room for you in this garden, sir. Right? Okay, number two. Who got to the second one? Okay. You want to use the microphone?
In the second story, Michael is David's wife, and she is really mad at him for dancing before the Lord. She thinks he looks like a fool. So we said that kind of the enemy used jealousy and embarrassment and anger to steal the seed from Michael.
So you ever had that friend? That person in your life that God begins to do something in you, and like you begin to believe by faith that God's going to do something in you, and you begin to change some what? Habits? And that there's that friend that says, oh, you just got all religious on me, didn't you? Oh, you're too good to go out drinking with us. Is that right? Right? And then all of a sudden, the enemy comes in and he steals that seed that God's doing in your life because of jealousy, because of anger, because of embarrassment. Like, I don't want to be different. I don't want to, mess up the apple cart. I love this story because here's David. And he's got the Ark of the Covenant, which, guys, in the Old Testament, it represented the very presence of God. And it was outside the city for such a long time. And David is realizing that the presence of God is now coming back. And some of you need that excitement. When you begin to feel the presence of God for the first time or for the second time, listen, there is something in you that should get a little excited, right? And so David, the Bible says that the Ark of the Covenant was being brought in. And what did he do? He stripped down and he started dancing before God. And there was his wife sitting up in the window. And my question is, why wasn't she down in the street dancing with him? Sometimes you need to choose your friends right. If they're not willing to celebrate with you the things that God's doing, I don't know that they ought to be with you. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. You know, there's people in your life that God's working on too. But in this scenario, David was like, hey, I love how his response, he's like, I'll become even more undignified than this if it means pleasing my king. Listen, embarrassment, you can have your way somewhere else because I'm just going to do whatever it takes to please Jesus because he's all that matters. Jeremy spoke an incredible message a few weeks ago when he talked about the audience of one. Listen, we try to live our lives for an audience of all kinds of people, but really the only one that really matters is Jesus. Amen? Number three. We gotta hurry on. Number three. Who got to the third one? Anybody? They're in the back. They're in the back. Third one. We're talking about what devours, what destroys the seed. Did you want? Yes.
Insecurity is what we got.
Insecurity.
And embarrassment of him being, okay. You know, he couldn't speak well.
So there's Moses, right? Moses is being used by God. He's being called out by God to say, hey, I want you to go deliver my people. I want you to be my mouthpiece. I want you to speak for me. And Moses, like many of us, say, like, have you heard me speak? Like God didn't know what Moses' insecurities or what his issues were. Like Moses needed to remind God, listen, God, I don't speak very well. God didn't ask if he spoke well. God just told him, this is what you're going to do. And the devil tried to come in and steal that seed from him. Why? Because he was insecure about, man, his own giftings, about his own life. Raise your hand if you're insecure about something. Those of you that aren't raising your hand, you're insecure about raising your hand. Why are you doing that? We're all friends. The enemy will use anything that he knows will work to steal or damage your seed. He knows you. He knows you. Doubt and unbelief in yourself and or God, as we talked about in Luke chapter 1, discouragement from others or from yourself. Some of you guys, you don't need somebody to discourage you because you got somebody discouraging every morning when you look in the mirror. Right? Like, I don't need anybody to add to the commentary that's already happening in my mind. Discouragement, fear and anxiety, success and or failure, that danger of what if I step out and nothing happens? We get to a point where we got to decide whether I'm going to be God-pleasing or man-pleasing. And if I'm going to be God-pleasing, then there's things that God's going to want to do in my life and draw out of me. Do you know what? That may not be acceptable to those around me, that they may not understand it. And that's okay. Complacency sometimes and neglect is tending, or is trying to steal our seed. Then Taylor brought this up earlier. There's a bag of seeds. How many of you guys know that if I put this bag of seeds on the counter in my house, nothing's going to happen with that seed? Nothing. Like, that seed is absolutely helpless unless it's planted in soil. Unless that seed finds itself into the soil of the ground. And I think so many times we sit with this incredible bag of seed on our countertop, and I never open it up, and I never get an opportunity for Jesus to scatter it into my life. I become complacent, and I wonder why I'm not growing. Guys, we got to open up the bag and allow Jesus to scatter seed in us. So complacency, you stop watering your seed. You stop watering your seed. You stop pulling out the weeds that steal nutrients from your seeds. You stop pulling out the weeds. There are weeds in your life that you've allowed to grow up for years and years and years, and you got to get rid of that weed because it's sucking the life out of the seed. You can't get past the place that you are right now in life because there's other things in your life that are sucking the nutrients from that seed. You don't have to name that person right now. You don't have to label that habit right now, but you know what it is. You know what it is. What are those seeds? And you gotta. And you know what? Some of you are saying, I've been trying to work that. You ever grabbed a hold of a weed? Thank you. And you go to pull on it, and that thing is tied to China. Like you say, hey, pull your neighbor over here. Hey, give me a hand with this thing, you know? And it's stuck down in there deep. Here's a word for you tonight. Some of you, you've been trying to pull that weed up in your own strength, and you need to get a hold of the God who can uproot that thing in your life. You need to get a part of encounter where you can get set free. Say amen. It's all right. Stop fertilizing your seed. You stop fertilizing your seed. I got a funny picture in my mind of fertilizing seed. You know? Sometimes God will use the stuff in life to help fertilize the seed that he's planted in you. You say, why am I going through some hard stuff right now? Because that's the very thing that God is using to help fertilize that seed. You're going through some tough stuff where it's requiring some patience in you. And you're like, I don't like it, God. And he says, it's okay. It's good for you. It's like you tell your kids, hey, you need to eat your veggies. Well, I don't like it. Well, it's okay because it's good for you. Did you know that if you take one of those little ninja things and you blend some of that spinach up and you just put it in like your taters or something, like they don't even know it's there. Anybody else try that? Do you have children that actually reckon it? They're like, there's something weird about this. It's fine. It's fine. Eat it. Just eat it. Number three, we're helping to ensure spiritual growth in our life. Consistently protect and nourish your seeds. Man, you got to hold on to that seed for life or death. You gotta get a hold of the Word of God. The New Testament says the kingdom of God is kind of like a man who discovers a great treasure. And he goes off and he buries it in a field somewhere. He sells everything that he has so he can buy that field because he finds that treasure so valuable. You've got to value the Word of God and the seed of God so much that you protect it and you nourish it because you know that it's going to grow things in your life. Rather than holding on to what Oprah said. Oh, that's good. That's good, Oprah. You know? Or Dr. Phil. He's obnoxious. I'm just saying. Get a hold of the Word of God. Circle it. Write it up on your mirror. Some of you got it tattooed on your arm. I don't care. Whatever it gets, however it gets in you, you know. It's important that you take that and you protect it and you nourish it. How do you protect your seed? What is the seed? It's the word of the kingdom. It's the word from God, right? That's the seed. How do I protect it? Don't let people trample or eat your seeds. Don't let people trample on or eat your seeds. Number two, spend time in the presence of God, which adds spiritual depth to your soil. Spend time in the presence of God. The presence of God is like a fresh rain that comes in and just saturates the ground. And when you get a word from God, you need to take that word into your prayer closet or into your truck, wherever you are, sir. Turn on some worship music and let the Holy Spirit rain down some of his presence on that seed so that it gets down in there good. Are you hearing me tonight? Are we still tracking? I'm almost finished. Stop worrying, number three, and learn to trust God. God help us. God help me. Worrying is like one of those things. Anybody else? Like it's just, we got to learn to trust him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways. Someone say all of your ways. All of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We got to learn to trust him. I'm preaching to myself on that point. I need to learn to trust him, that he's trustworthy, that he'll provide. Where he guides, he provides. If it's his will, then it's his bill. If I'm tracking with him, I know that he's going to take care of me. Stop worrying and learn to trust God. Number four, keep them in good soil. Keep that seed in good soil. And that's back to the condition of your heart, guys. Spend time in prayer and in his presence. Spend time in prayer and in his presence. Listen, it doesn't have to look like everybody else. I have some great prayer time. After I drop the kids off to school, and I'm coming home from school, and I've got a podcast on, I got some worship on, I'm just taking time, just me and God, and I'm just praying. And you got to figure out what works for you, but you've got to spend that time in prayer. You got to spend that time in his presence. Read and apply God's word to your life. Read and apply God's word to your life. How many of you guys, by a show of hands, have downloaded the TCC app on your phone? Okay, hold your hands up. Look at all the people around you that aren't raising their hands and give them that little judgmental eye like, what is wrong with you? Okay, you can put your hands down. Get the TCC app. Get your YouVersion app. You got an incredible tool in your hand. Guys, we have more access to commentaries and to worship. I mean, this is an incredible tool that God can use. The devil can use it too, you know. But God, that God can use to be an encouragement to you. Get on the TCC app. We've got some devotions and stuff that we work through there. Stay plugged in. Read and apply God's word to your life. Has this been good? Has it been good? Got to protect your seed. Got to protect your seed. You know, something that I try to do on a regular basis is to take a journal. And you say, well, journaling's for girls. I had a college student tell me that a while back. I said, you know, I wrote down in my journal. He said, your journal? I said, do you even know how to write? I didn't say that. That's mean. But take a journal and write down. Man, when God speaks to you, write it down. Many times when you write down the word, the promise that God has spoken to you, and you know that scripture that just, man, it jumped off the pages at you, and you wrote it down, and you put down a little prayer. God, I receive that. Like, I don't know how that's even possible, but I'm going to receive it as a word from you. How many of you guys know that the promises of God have a genealogy? Like, you can trace those back to that point where God's seed was planted, just like a garden. Like, I remember planting the seed in the soil, and I've watered it, and I've tended it, and I've pulled weeds. But you know what? It's not up to me when that seed begins to poke through the soil. Right? That's not up to me. My responsibility was just to make sure that it got down in the soil. Amen? So get a hold of the word of God and a seed of God, plant it into your soil, then write it down. On this date, I stuck a seed down into the soil of my heart, and I'm holding on to that for all that I'm worth because I know that at the right time, in God's timing, that thing's going to begin to sprout out of the ground, and I'm going to see some fruit from it. Someone say amen. You're praying for your kid who's far from God. I'm taking a promise that says that if I raise them to know Jesus and I'm loving them and I'm showing them the word of God, that there's a point at which they're going to turn from their wicked ways and they're going to come back towards God. And I'm taking that promise and I'm sticking it down in my heart and I'm writing it in my journal. I planted this at this point, and God, I'm just believing that I can come back to this point and give you praise because I know that your word is true and it's not going to come back void. Someone say amen. Let me pray over you. We're going to go into the appendix, Appendix D, not your appendix. Do some surgery. We're going to go into the section in the back of your book. There's some reflection questions we want you to work on, but let me pray over you just real quick. Father, we've spoken about some incredible things. Holy Spirit, you are here. I sense your presence here. We're speaking about your word, and Jesus, anytime we speak about you, you are here. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. God, I believe the enemy is trying to steal seed right now through worry, through doubt, through I've heard that before. I've tried that. Been there, done that. Not working for me may work for them. God's a liar. You can't trust him. Satan's trying to steal seed tonight, but we rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Your word says, rebuke the devourer. God, allow the seeds that have been planted tonight to be deep in the soil of our hearts. Holy Spirit, with your presence, come and just rain down on the soil of our hearts. We want that seed to take root. We want it grow. In this time that we have together, God, we want to grow. We want to be different. We want to be different because we've been in your presence. In Jesus' name.